at the same time, you're seeing that technologies are allowing people to shrug, to find their way out, whether it's cryptocurrency or yourself embarking as a nomad capitalist or taking their children out of school, homeschooling, or getting onto encrypted messaging spaces. You know, it's a race, but we got to be in it.
What up, Vigilantes? I'm here with Jennifer Grossman of the Atlas Society. How are you, Jennifer?
I'm doing spectacular. What a rocking conference this is.
I know. And so happy to see you and to talk to you about objectivism.
Yes.
So a lot of people in cryptocurrency come from the anarcho-capitalist, agorist world. Then a lot of the Keynesians came in. And so a lot of people were like kind of flabbergasted, so like, where are the objectivists? And I'm here to tell you that the objectivists exist in crypto.
I appreciate them very much. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say that the primordial community that is objectivist in crypto is a BSV, Bitcoin Satoshi Vision.
Right.
And I don't know, have you heard of Craig Wright?
No.
And what's happening? Well, a lot of people call him a scammer and fake Toshi, but he's a very controversial guy who claims to be Satoshi.
Oh,
but,
yes.
But he is, when I fell in love with Bitcoin, I came to understand Bitcoin, both the computational power of Bitcoin and the coin aspect of Bitcoin. And it turns out that this guy agrees with me. I'm like, hey. And I understand, and the way I've come to understand the BSV approach to Bitcoin and crypto in general is that it is very Randian. So I would invite, I want to invite you to, and I spoke to some of the people at the Atlas Society already, and I told them about this story. This story about Bitcoin scaling on chain and creating a gulch economy that is on the Bitcoin blockchain. What happened in crypto is that a lot of people did not want to scale on the Bitcoin blockchain and wanted to scale Bitcoin outside the blockchain, depriving us of that gulch that we all know is still possible within Bitcoin.
Well, we're going to have our own little gulch coming up in October in Malibu, in the Malibu Hills. We're going to be honoring Michael Saylor, who has spent a lot of time talking to the Atlas Society. And he points to the importance of the concept of property and the way in which Bitcoin can help to secure property. And his interest in Bitcoin came in part out of some of the experiences that he had. For example, when he had $1 million in Argentina and the government started passing arbitrary regulations saying that no currency could be, it had to be in pesos, and then devalued the pesos, and he was thinking, well, how the heck am I going to get my money out of Argentina? He wanted to buy a yacht, $1 million yacht, and float it out, but they wouldn't let him do that. And so, you know, Bitcoin is really a way of taking the energy and the value that you've created in your work and finding a way to secure it and transport it in a way that government can't infringe upon. So I would invite you and a lot of the people in your community to come to our gala. Michael Saylor is also going to have some panels during the day on Bitcoin. And I understand there are a lot of controversies and there are a lot of different views.
Definitely different views. He's
you know, more of a maximalist. And
correct.
I just had lunch with one of our donors early today who's kind of on the opposite side of that spectrum. But this is going to be an opportunity to hash it out and take some
I'd love
views.
To go there because
well if you're a nomad why not
I'd love to go there and because look speaking of what I just told you, Michael Saylor and his company MicroStrategy is involved with a huge lawsuit with that he partnered up with Meta, Facebook, and Twitter and a lot of other big tech companies going against the what I just told you, the BSV blockchain, because BSV started patenting a bunch of they started patenting the Bitcoin technology itself, they're, like I said, BSV is very Randian in their approach to the market. And Saylor sits on the other side alongside Zuckerberg and Dorsey. So I would love to pick his brain.
It's going to be a very intimate group, 50 people only that are going to be able to be in the panels. And then, of course, we'll have our gala where there will be a lot of other people. So
now this is a big lawsuit happening, so I don't know how much he's going to be able to talk to me about this issue.
He might not do, but he's very open, and I think that, you know, you guys could probably find some area of common ground, and I do think that there are a lot of Randian kind of similarities or overlaps. Ayn Rand, of course, wrote some very futuristic novels. She wrote some dystopian novellas, of course. Anthem, which was published 12 years before Orwell published 1984, and talked about what happens when we start to banish words and control pronouns.
Wow.
And the way that we talk about ourselves, and we can't even say I. And, you know, so she really was a visionary in that sense. Of course, Atlas Shrugged had a lot of futuristic technologies. It had Riordan metal, which was lighter and cheaper and stronger than steel. And so I like to sometimes think of cryptocurrency as the Riordan metal of currency.
Yeah, it's the perfect platonic form of money made that comes into the physical realm through technology.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, of course, John Galt's motor, which created a form of energy that didn't have any emissions. And now the only difference, of course, is John Galt created this technology, which could have lent incredible productivity to the world, but he shrugged, he withdrew his productive technology, then he took his invention with him. And Satoshi similarly kind of disappeared, but he left us with this gift to humanity.
So we have to keep an eye on this trial that you mentioned Saylor. This trial that is happening that is on this topic right here. It's a huge topic. And it's the COPA trial, COPA trial, that I think has been extended out up to 2024. So they are doing discovery and everything for the next 1.5 years. So it's a big deal. It's a huge deal because it's all of big tech going after a small iteration of the Bitcoin protocol. Why is that? I don't know.
Well,
what's going on there? I don't know.
You'll have the chance to ask him
when you
go to the gala.
Maybe Bitcoin's original design is the real Web3 and they can't have it without the patent of that they have in BSE. Maybe that's why Twitter and Facebook and Saylor are going after this guy. I don't know. Maybe.
We'll see. But, you know, the Atlas Society is a philosophy organization. We're an education organization. So while we certainly admire Michael Saylor for the courage to do something so, you know, really dramatic in terms of putting so much of his company's value in Bitcoin and to be a standard bearer for it, but also for all of the other things that he's done, his book, The Mobile Wave, which really predicted this whole next wave of the Internet of Things, and also, of course, Saylor Academy, which has provided free education to tens of thousands of students.
So one of the most beautiful things about the objectivist philosophy is that it takes the world as it is, and it doesn't wait until some utopia happens, but it deals with the world as is, with government as is, and it faces it head on. When Bitcoin came out, a lot of people wanted to turn Bitcoin into something that it was not. And when I see what Satoshi gave us, he gave us something that acquiesces to the world as is, deals with the world as is, and it's not ideologically driven per se, where you don't need to take an ideological purity test to be part of it. Bitcoin is for everyone. And I find that very beautiful and very elegant, because that's what capitalism is. You know, we find people from all ideologies throughout the world using cell phones, right? There's no ideological purity test for using a cell phone. But capitalism offers that value, and it's that extreme capitalism that I like about the objectivist perspective. And I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Even though I'm an anarcho-capitalist, I love Monero, and yeah, but I can't.
And we are not anarchists. Ayn Rand, of course, believed that there was a role for government, for foreign defense, and for courts, and for police. But that's okay. If I'm right, I have nothing to fear, and if I'm wrong, I have something to learn. And so that's the open objectivist way at the Atlas Society.
But at the same time, it's like, you're right. The objectivist is correct, because whether you like it or not, government is still here. So you have to deal with government law. And if you live around thinking that government doesn't exist, well, you're kind of hurting yourself. You're living in a pipe dream at the present moment.
Yeah, that's kind of hopium. But, yeah. You know, I think at the same time, and you were talking about technology and the ability of technology to liberate us. And so we are seeing that, you know, as Peter Thiel said, we're in this deadly race between politics and technology. And we're seeing with global organizations like the World Economic Forum trying to, you know, essentially disrupt capitalism and trying to foist all of these social justice and environmental governance goals on populations through companies, among other institutions. But at the same time, you're seeing that technologies are allowing people to shrug, to find their way out, whether it's cryptocurrency or yourself embarking as a nomad capitalist or taking their children out of school, homeschooling, or getting onto encrypted messaging spaces. It's a race, but we got to be in it to win it.
So there's two approaches, main approaches that have happened in the crypto world. One that emphasizes the extreme privacy of the individual, the self-sovereignty of the individual, that sanctity. And for that, that is very much something that attracts the agorist anarcho-capitalists, right? And we find people gravitating towards privacy coins. I also appreciate the extreme capitalism of Bitcoin's original design, where miners scale to the point of being large enterprises that offer better services than anything that government has to offer, and we start seeing a diminishing of the government and of their services and being supplanted by this extreme capitalist meritocracy that Satoshi gave us, known as proof of work. So this extreme miner capitalist Bitcoiner mentality sees Bitcoin much more than just money. It sees Bitcoin and, like Saylor says, the energy of Bitcoin that protects our transactions is the same energy that when the miners are fully autonomous and free to compete with each other, complete autonomy and freedom in the market, these miners are able to compete with big tech, with Amazon, with Google, with Facebook, with Twitter. And they're able to do something that big tech cannot do, mm-hmm. is to use that same Bitcoin energy to give us a new internet where we can wrap all of the content and to obviously for us to experiment to see how far we can take proof of work, to wrap all of that big data with Bitcoin energy. Saylor calls it thermodynamic, you know, energy. Now big data can be protected with that same Bitcoin energy, and we own our own information. So this is really at the heart of what my side of the Bitcoin Civil War fought for and is still fighting for today. Saylor, whether he realizes or not, sits on the other side, because he came later after the Bitcoin Civil War. He sits on the other side of the Bitcoin Civil War. So I would love to attend your conference,
rather
sit
than
down
a,
with him,
a civil
and have
war,
a brave conversation
we'll have
with him.
A civil discussion.
That's right.
Well, great. I hope to see you there.
Awesome. Jennifer, it was a pleasure talking to you, and thank you for all of the work that you're doing with the Atlas Society. I really appreciate all of the work, because as part of the libertarian family, you guys need to be more appreciated, in my opinion, because especially in the crypto world. In the crypto world, objectivism is something that people need to look into more, because you have to have answers that only objectivism can offer when dealing with government as it is right now in the present moment.
Well, hopefully we can make it simple. Hopefully we can make it accessible. The thing to start with is Francisco's money speech in Atlas Shrugged. Of course, we have our Draw My Life of Francisco on our site and on all our social media. We have a Draw My Life of Crypto. So come and understand the importance of sound money, and together we will learn about the potential of Bitcoin to restore rationality to the financial system and restore property rights to the entire human race.
Yeah, Bitcoin is huge. And guys like Sailor and guys like me, we both like Bitcoin, and we're both fighting for our own perspectives on Bitcoin. But at the end of the day, who's going to win? Bitcoin's going to win.
Awesome.
And that's why we're here.
All right.
Thank you so much
for
your time.
Thank you.